بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow his guidance until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the meaning of the term dua and also an-niyyah. And before we begin, can anybody remember the two types of dua? What are the two types of dua? Dua al-ibadah, dua al-mas'ala. So dua al-ibadah is every type of ibadah. Every type of ibadah, every act of worship, it is a dua. In essence, it's a dua. Because you are hoping for Allah's mercy and hoping for Allah's forgiveness. So it is a bodily form of dua. Dua al-mas'ala is the meaning of dua which we think about when you make a particular request. So mas'ala from the word su'al, which is a request. Then dua al-mas'ala, this is also two types. So dua al-mas'ala in itself it's two types. Can you remember? Na'am. Dua al-mas'ala. So dua al-mas'ala is two types. That which only Allah can answer, and making a dua to anybody else besides Allah in something which only Allah can answer, this is shirkun akbar and it is kufr na'udhu billah. And then the second type is a request which somebody else, i.e. creation, also have the ability to answer. This type of request, if we call it dua, you're allowed to make from the rest of creation. However, with four conditions. Four conditions have to be fulfilled in the person who you are requesting this matter from. Rahil, can you remember the four matters?
The person has to be alive.
Hayyun. That the person you're asking has to be alive.
Person should be able to communicate.
Hadir, meaning he's either present in front of you, or you're able to communicate with him. So when we say hadir, present, you can reach him via phone or text. Yeah. Then the third one is qadir. He has to have the ability. And then the fourth one is you have to believe he's only a sabab. Meaning this person and his ability to answer your request is only a cause which Allah has placed upon the earth. So it isn't he himself independent of Allah who is answering or fulfilling your request. But Allah is the one who has truly answered. But Allah has made him a cause for that thing to be fulfilled. And what's the example that we always use which clarifies this scenario? Can you remember? Doctors and medicine. So when we go to doctors, Hayyun, he's alive. Hadir, he is present. Qadir, he has the ability because he has studied diseases and cures, so he has the ability to diagnose the illness. Then when he gives you the medicine, if you believe that the doctor and the medicine in of itself has cured you, then this is now a type of shirk. But if you believe that Allah is the one who cures, he is a shafi. However, he has made the doctors and the medicine a cause for cure, then this is at-tawheed. And then we came to the word an-niyyah. An-niyyah, it differentiates between ibadat and ibadat, and it differentiates between ibadat and adat. So give me an example of the niyyah, i.e. a person's intention, differentiating between ibadat and ibadat. Dawood? Who can remember when the niyyah is used to differentiate between ibadat of the same type. Like, for example, the nafil prayer and the fard prayer. So the nafil and the fard salah, both of them are exactly the same. It is the same qibla, the same takbir, the same fatiha, sujood, ruku, taslim, everything is the same. So how do you differentiate between a fard and a nafil salah? The niyyah. And also, for example, fasting, fard and nafil, and anything like that. And then differentiating between ibadat and adat, like somebody takes a ghusl in the morning. So if a person takes a ghusl in the morning with the intention that I'm just getting ready for work, or it's just to freshen myself up after sleeping, then this is now adat. This is from the matters of the dunya. Has nothing to do with Islam. And a person is not allowed to pray salah if he hasn't made wudu in that ghusl. Why? Because his niyyah wasn't there. But if a person washed the same body parts, the same shower, the same water, at the same time in the morning, but his niyyah was that with this shower, with this ghusl, I'm going to offer some of my salawat, read Quran, so on and so forth, then it is ghusl. And this we covered last week. In this lesson, we come to the term khushu' and also the first takbir, takbirat al-tahreem. And perhaps also dua al-istiftah, depending how the lesson goes. So we often hear this term khushu', that in your salah you have to have khushu'. You should have khushu' in your salah. What's the meaning of khushu'? In Arabic, khushu', it means dhul wal khudu'. And the meaning of dhul and khudu' is for a person to have absolute submission and absolute humility. This is the meaning of khushu'. So like we say, for example, the word dhul, like dhalil. When somebody is dhalil, what does it mean? He belittles himself in front of you. He lowers himself in front of you. Somebody is dhalil in that he is in complete submission in front of you. And also the Arabs, they describe a voice as being khushu' when it's lowered. So when a person whispers or speaks very quietly, because their voice has now been weakened, they'll say, for example, khashi'a as-sawt, that the voice was, it had khushu' in it, meaning it was lowered and weakened. And Allah used this meaning in the Quran. Allah said, "Wa khasha'atil aswatu lirrahmani fala tasma'u illa hamsa." That on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the voices, khasha'at, they will be lowered in front of the Most Merciful. "Fala tasma'u illa hamsa." So you will not hear except only whispering. And as for the meaning of khushu', within fiqh or within salah, then it is al-khawf wa-tawadhu' wa-tadhallul bayna yadillahi takunu fil-qalbi fatadharu atharuhu fil-jawarih. It is al-khawf, it is a combination of fear, wa-tawadhu' and humbleness and modesty, wa-tadhallul from the word dhul, submission and lowering, a person lowering himself, بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ in front of Allah, تَكُونُ فِي الْقَلْبِ, it starts in the heart, فَتَظْهَرُ آثَارُهُ فِي الْجَوَارِحِ, however the effects of this khushu, they become apparent on a person's limbs. This is al-khushu, that a person combines between the fear of Allah and modesty and humbleness in front of Allah and lowering himself, submitting himself in front of Allah. It's in the heart. However, the effects of this can be seen upon the limbs. And if a person wanted an even better definition than this, then the best of the definitions is that which is found in the Quran. Because whenever we're trying to explain an Islamic term, then the first place we look at is in the Quran. That this Islamic, or this term, khushu', is it found anywhere in the Quran? And does Allah explain the meaning of khushu' in the Quran? if not the Quran, a hadith, if not the ahadith, statements of the Sahaba, if not the statement of the Sahaba, then we look into the linguistic meaning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions the definition of khushu'. He said in Surah Baqarah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah said, and seek help through patience and as-salah, and verily it is something which is big, except عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, except upon the people of khushu. Then he said, الَّذِينَ, who are the khashi'een, who are the people of khushu? They are those يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They are those people who know with certainty that they will meet their Lord, and they know with certainty that to Him they will return. So if a person asks you, what is the meaning of khushu', then this is the best definition you can give. أَلَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That khushu' is when a person knows with certainty he will be meeting Allah, and he knows that he will return to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He praised those people who have khushu' in salah. He said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. He said, verily, the believers are successful, those who have khushu' in their salah. And khushu' is two types. There are two types of khushu'. There is khushu'un batani and there is khushu'un zahiri. So khushu'un batani, this is the inner khushu', and khushu'un zahiri is the outer khushu'. So khushu'un batani, the inner khushu', this is the khushu' which is in the heart. And it begins with a person contemplating what he is saying in the salah. So the only way to achieving this level of khushu' is only in contemplating that which is in salah. Either ayat which you are reciting, the du'as which you are reciting. And this is one of the reasons we've begun these lessons, so we can develop khushu' in our salah. And of course, a person cannot understand the ayat of the Quran and therefore have khushu in his salah without understanding the Arabic language. And you will not be able to understand the Arabic language until you begin to learn the Arabic language. So this is an encouragement for everybody to take opportunity of the Arabic lessons which occur in the masjid. And then this khushu which is in the heart, we mention that it has an effect on the outside. So now there is an outer khushu'. And the outer khushu', this is adamul iltifat, by a person not making any unnecessary movements in the salah. So if you see a person and in the salah is making too many unnecessary movements, then this is an indicator that he or she is lacking khushu'. And also not preceding the imam in the actions. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama ju'ila al-imam liyutimmu bih," that the imam has only been placed in front of you for you to follow him. And also by looking at the place of sujood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered in the prayer for a person to look at the place of sujood. And this also develops outer khushu'. However, the important question now is, we know that in the salah there are shurut, there are conditions that have to be fulfilled before the salah. And then there are arkan, pillars of the salah. And a rukn of the salah is something that if a person leaves it out intentionally or forgetfully, then the salah is not accepted. This is a rukn. And then there are the wajibat. And the wajibat are those actions that if a person leaves them out in the salah intentionally, his salah is invalid. However, if he leaves out a wajib unintentionally, then the salah is accepted. And then there are the sunan. And the sunan are the recommended actions. The more you do, the higher the reward. But if you leave it out, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, then your prayer isn't invalid, but there's less reward in it. And a person, of course, should try to fulfill all of these aspects. But al-khushu' is it from the arkan, or is it from the wajibat, or is it from the sunan? So khushu, is it that thing that if you don't have khushu in the prayer, your prayer is not valid? Or is it from the wajibat, which is less than this? Or is it from the sunan, something which is highly recommended but does not accept the validity of the salah? And the ulama, the fuqaha, they differentiate between tama'nina and khushu. And tama'nina is a rukn, tama'nina is a pillar. And as for khushu, then this is from the sunan. This is something which is recommended, but it does not affect the validity of the salah. So what is tama'nina? Tama'nina, they say, as-sukun ba'd al-haraka. At-tama'nina is calmness after movement. Meaning when a person rises from the ruku' to the standing position once again. Tama'nina is that when he gets up to that position, then he's calm for a short while. And then his body or his bones, they become settled in that position. And then only after that does he move on to the next position in the salah. So he goes to sujood, for example. That movement between the ruku and the sujood, there has to now be some rest or stability, or his body has to be settled in the sujood before he starts moving again. This is at-tama'nina. So this is a rukn. So if a person moves from the ruku to the standing and then immediately into the sujood, without that tama'nina, without that resting, and without each body part returning back into its original place, then the prayer is not valid. And this is at-tama'nina. As for khushu', as for the extra tadallul and khawf and tawadu' and dhul, those things that we mentioned, and khudu', then this is from the sunan. And some of the ulama, they measured tama'nina. They said the dabit or the measure of at-tama'nina is that you are able to calmly say the adhkar of every position. This is at-tama'nina. So for example, when you go into ruku', if you are able to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim calmly in the correct time, this is tama'nina. But if you go into ruku' and within half a second you're back up and you've just mumbled the words, then this is not at-tama'nina. And therefore, the salah, it is not accepted. So tama'nina, as I mentioned, it's a rukun, meaning if a person does not fulfill it intentionally or even out of forgetfulness, the salah is not accepted. And as for khushu, then this is from the sunan. This is something which is recommended. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the famous hadith which I mentioned previously, hadith musi as-salah, the hadith of the person who prayed badly in Sahihain, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw that man praying quickly and he said to him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. He said to him, go back and offer your salah because you are not offered the salah. And then the man did this two or three times, and then he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, walladhi ba'atha Allahu bilhaq ba'athaka Allahu bilhaq ma uhsin ghayra. He said, I take an oath by the one who has sent you with the truth, I don't know any better. I don't know any other prayer than the one I have prayed. فَعَلِّمْنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So teach me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned to him, and the hadith is lengthy, and I'll just quote the point here. Then the Prophet said, ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا. The Prophet said, then go into ruku' حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ, until you have طَمَأْنِينَ in your ruku'. And then he said, ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ رَأْسَكْ, and then raise your head, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا. Then he said, and then raise your hand until you have طَمَأْنِينَ whilst you are standing. And this is sometimes called i'tidal. And i'tidal means a person's body returning to the correct position in the position which he is in. So there has to be a momentary rest when a person gets up from the ruku and goes down into sujood. And also, for example, between the two sujoods. And the reason why I emphasize both of these places as an example is because you will see in many people, illa man rahimahumullah, that they have a mistake in this. So they will go from the ruku to the standing to the sujood in a single motion without any tama'nina. And they will go from sujood to sitting to sujood once again in a single motion without any rest or without any settling in all of these places. Naam. And as for khushu', as I mentioned, this increases a person's reward. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that a person prays the salah, ثم ينصرف من صلاته, and then he leaves his salah. وما كتب له إلا عشرها. And maybe he has only received a tenth of its reward, or تسعها, or a ninth of his reward, or ثمنها, or an eighth of his reward, up until he said, or a half of its reward. So the people, they differ in terms of the reward they are receiving for their salah. They might only receive a tenth of the reward, or a ninth, or an eighth, or a seventh, and so on and so forth, according to the amount of khushu that they have. So this shows us that khushu, it is a matter of reward and not a matter of validity. And then after this, we come to the first statement of the salah. What's the first statement of the salah? Now, what's the first statement of salah? Allahu Akbar. What's the first action of the salah? Naam. Raising the hands? Anything else? Not the niyyah. The first action of the salah. Standing up. Standing up. Al-qiyam is the first action of the salah. Because you can't do the takbir without standing up. But the first statement of the salah, it is saying Allahu Akbar. As for the niyyah, it isn't a statement. It is something which is in the heart. So when we say takbir, we are referring to the statement Allahu Akbar. We are not referring to the raising of the hands. The raising of the hands, this is called raf'ul yadain. And as for takbir, then it is called, then it is the statement Allahu Akbar. And in the salah, there are two types of takbirat. There is takbiratul tahreem, and then there is takbiratul intiqal. So takbiratul tahreem, this is the first statement of Allahu Akbar a person makes in order to initiate and begin the salah. And as for takbiratul intiqal, then this is those statements of takbir which are made to move from one position to another position. So when we go from the ruku' to the sujood, we say Allahu Akbar. This takbir is called takbiratul intiqal. And the meaning of intiqal is movement. Intiqal means to move from one place to another place. And takbiratul tahreem, it has three different names. Sometimes it is called takbiratul tahreem. Sometimes it is called at-takbira at-tahreemiyya. And sometimes it is called takbiratul ihram. All of these terms, they refer to the same thing, i.e. the first takbir, the first statement of Allahu Akbar that a person makes. Why is takbiratul tahreem, why is it called tahreem? Because you know that the meaning of tahreem is to make something haram. This is the meaning of tahreem. So why do you think this first statement, Allahu Akbar, why is it referred to as takbiratul tahreem? Can you offer? Naam, anybody? Naam, tafadhal. Ahsant. Naam. Because by this takbir, a person's normal action which he's allowed to do out of the salah and they're halal for him, like eating and drinking and laughing and looking around and talking and conversing, in the salah they now become haram. You're going to say the same thing. Naam. And this is why it is called takbiratul tahreem. And takbiratul tahreem, i.e. the statement Allahu Akbar, not the raising of the hands. The statement Allahu Akbar, this is also a rukn. Meaning if a person does not say Allahu Akbar, whether it's intentionally or forgetfully, then the salah is not valid. So if a person began the salah and then halfway through realized that I did not say takbiratul tahreem, then his prayer is not accepted. So he comes out of the salah, and then once again he says takbiratul tahreem, Allahu Akbar, and then he repeats all of his prayer again from the beginning to the ending. Just like a person who, for example, forgot a sujood or forgot a ruku', because like I said, the arkan, it invalidates the prayer if they are left out forgetfully or intentionally. The only difference between the sujood and the ruku' and between, for example, takbiratul ihram, is that takbiratul ihram, if a person leaves it out, he has not begun the prayer at all. Absolutely, he has not started the prayer. Because if you remember when we spoke about the definition of as-salah, we said af'alun makhsusa wa aqwalun makhsusa, specific statements and actions, muftatihatun bit-takbir, starting with the takbir. So if a person doesn't say Allahu Akbar and make the takbir, then he has not initiated the salah. As for leaving out a sujood, then it only invalidates the single rak'ah in which you missed out the rukun, not the whole salah. So if, for example, you prayed 3 rak'ah and 2 of them you prayed them perfectly, and the third one you forgot a sujood, or you left out a ruku', then the first two are valid, and as for the third one, it has to be repeated again. But if a person leaves out takbir tahrim, then all of the salah, it is invalid. And the reason why it is rukun, because it's mentioned in a number of hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in that lengthy hadith of the one who prayed badly in the Sahihain, he said, "Irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli," go back, pray because you have not prayed. And then he said later in the hadith, he said, "Idha qumta lis-salati fakabbir," that when you stand up for the prayer, then make takbir, meaning say Allahu Akbar. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, Sunnah Abi Dawud, he said, "Miftahu as-salah at-tuhur," that the key of the salah, it is purification. وَتَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ, and its tahreem is the takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. وَتَحْلِيلُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ, and its tahleel, i.e. when those things become halal for you again, is the taslim. And takbiratul ihram, and we have to pay attention to this, this is a rukun for everybody. Meaning the imam and the ma'moom, the one who is praying behind him, and the munfarid, the one who prays alone. So just because the imam says takbiratul tahrim, it does not suffice for you. You also have to say takbiratul tahrim. And if a person has some doubt in his mind, doubt, I'm not certain, he has shak, he has doubt whether he said takbiratul tahrim or not, then different rulings apply. So if this doubt came to him after finishing the prayer, then he does not turn to that doubt at all. And this is a general principle, that if there is a doubt in something, a mere doubt, it isn't a certainty, it's a mere doubt, after you have finished an act of worship, then you do not pay any consideration to it. Because if a person did, then you would see the majority of the Muslims would enter into many problems. Because this is the job of shaitan, causes you to doubt about the ibadat which you have done. However, what if the doubt, it enters upon a person in the middle of the salah? Then you have to check that this doubt, this shak, is it something which is appearing to you quite often? Are you often being affected by these doubts? Then it comes under wiswas, and therefore you pay no attention to it. Or is it something which is relatively rare? Just now, coincidentally, or you just, a doubt came to you that I don't think I made takbiratul tahrim. In this situation, then a person, he takes a safer option and he repeats the prayer again. And as for the raising of the hands, this is called Raf'ul Yadain. A Raf'ul Yadain, the majority of the ulama, they said it is mustahab. It is something which is recommended. So if a person said Allahu Akbar and he began his prayer and he placed his hands on his chest and he did not raise his hands for the takbir, then his prayer is still valid. However, deficient of reward and deficient of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he'd always raise his hands in the salah. And he used to raise them hadwa mankibay, to the level of his shoulders. And The takbiratu tahreem, which words is a person allowed to use? From the madhahib, the majority of the fuqaha said a person can only use the words Allahu Akbar. These are the only words by which the salah is valid, liman kana alayhi qadiran, whoever has the ability to do so. So of course, if a person is not able to speak, or if a person does not know anything from the Arabic language, then they can make an intention in their heart. But the one who is able to say and verbalize Allahu Akbar, then this is the only word or phrase by which the salah is initiated. Except the Ahnaf alayhim rahmatullah, they said that every phrase of ta'zeem, every phrase of exaltation of Allah is permitted as takbiratul tahreem. So for example, if a person said inna allaha ajal, that Allah is the most exalted, instead of saying Allahu Akbar, he said inna allaha ajal, and it means the same thing, then it is sufficient. Or if a person said Allahu a'la, that Allah is the highest, the most elevated. Or a person said Allahu al-akbar, instead of Allahu Akbar, he said Allahu al-akbar. Or if a person said, for example, Ar-Rahmanu Akbar, Ar-Rahimu Akbar, or if a person said, Allahu A'zam, Allah is the greatest, instead of saying Allahu Akbar, then because all of it means the same thing, and its essence is the same, then it is valid. However, that which is correct, Wallahu A'lam, is that which the Jamhur were upon, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me praying. So we are not allowed to do anything in the salah until we have a text that comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the wisdom behind takbiratul tahreem? That if a person understands the meaning of Allahu Akbar, then it gets him ready for the salah. So he feels he's in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he feels he's in front of the one who there's nothing which is greater than him. So if a person believes Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater than everything else, then anything else besides his salah for which he stands in front of Allah, it is belittled. So family becomes belittled, and your job becomes belittled, and money becomes belittled. Everything is belittled when a person has said Allahu Akbar, if he contemplates that which he is saying. And what is the meaning of Allahu Akbar? Allahu Akbar, this word Akbar, it means, like we say in English, greater than. And this word Akbaru, it's on the siga, it's the pattern of At-Tafdeel, siga to Tafdeel. And Tafdeel means something being better than something else. And every word in the Arabic language comes on the pattern of Af'alu, it means, for example, we say Atwalu, taller than. So you say, Ahmad atwalu min Bakr, that Ahmad is taller than Bakr. Or for example, a'lamu, you say, Zayd a'lamu min Amr, Zayd is more knowing than Amr. So this form in the Arabic language, it shows a comparison between these two things. So Allahu Akbar. Now normally what you would say is, as I mentioned, you would say, هذا المسجد, this masjid, أكبر من بيتي, is bigger than my house, is greater than my house. So you have something which is greater, and you have something which is less great, and then you have this أكبر in the middle. However, when we say Allahu Akbar, we don't mention what Allah is greater than. We don't say Allahu أكبر من الدنيا, Allah is greater than the dunya, or Allah is greater than anything else. We just say Allah is greater. And in the Arabic language, if the mufaddal, that which is now belittled, if it is taken away from the sentence, then it shows absolute greatness. Because if I say to you that this masjid, akbaru min bayti, it is bigger than my house, then that could mean that there's something else which is bigger than the masjid. Because the masjid is only bigger than my house. Now my house might be very, very small. So it doesn't actually show you the greatness of the masjid. Because being bigger than something which is minute isn't a great thing. But when you say something is the greatest masjid, then it shows the absolute greatness that it has. And Allahu Akbaru min kulli shay. Allah is greater than everything in what? Fi dhatihi, in His essence. In His essence, Allah is greater than everything. Wa asma'ihi, and in His names, Allah is greater than everything. Wa sifatihi, and in His attributes and descriptions, Allah is greater than everything. Wa af'alihi, and in His actions, Allah is greater than everything. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to one of his companions, he said, وَهَلْ شَيْءٌ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Is there anything which is greater than Allah? So this term, Allahu Akbar, is a comprehensive term which fulfills two matters. First of all, إِثْبَاتُ كُلِّ كَمَالٍ لِلَّهِ. First of all, it affirms every type of greatness and perfection for Allah. And secondly, تَنْزِيه عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ. It glorifies Allah above any type of deficiency and weakness. So when we say Allahu Akbar, we don't only say that Allah has attributes of perfection, rather we affirm attributes of perfection for Allah, and at the same time we free every type of attribute of deficiency from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we suffice with this for this lesson. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.